Philadelphia's School Reform Commission will announce this week which of the city's troubled schools will be run by the company known as Edison Schools. The commission's decision to involve Edison has drawn protest from those opposed to private control over public school reform. But commentator Matt Miller says many of Edison's opponents fail to see what's at stake.
Take first the notion that a for-profit school operator is somehow immoral, apparently the feeling of Philly protesters who chanted, "Stop corporate greed." One of two things must be true. Either these people aren't thinking clearly, or they're acting purely as political props. $350 billion a year is already spent on K-12 education, and huge chunks of it go to for-profit textbook publishers, computer companies, food service providers, office supply shops, and more. If corporate greed is a problem, where's the outrage about Houghton Mifflin and Staples? Edison schools surely have their problems, as do all schools serving the most neglected children in our society. In some towns, Edison's contracts are not being renewed because local officials feel the firm hasn't made good on its promises. But in many others, they're scoring impressive successes. The point is that Edison's foes should be honest enough to visit their schools and see what's going on. The San Jose Edison Academy in West Covina, east of L.A., is the nearest Edison school to where I live. It opened a few years back as a K-5 charter school with admission by lottery and has added a grade each year thanks to popular demand. As I learned on a recent visit, the school day and school year at Edison are significantly longer than normal. Edison breaks schools into smaller academies, said to give teachers more camaraderie and students more attention. Literacy and math programs form the heart of the curriculum. In third grade, Edison actually installs a computer in each family's home. Teachers work a longer day, but in exchange, each gets a laptop computer and an outside phone line, along with serious mentoring, training, and time for planning and collaboration, amenities often lacking in urban schools. Teachers and principals can also get bonuses, stock options, and a career track that vaults talented people to positions of regional or even corporate leadership. An outside firm conducts annual customer satisfaction surveys of Edison teachers, students, and parents, with principals assessed partly on the feedback, hard to imagine in your typical public school. So how's it working? Steve Fish, the superintendent, says Edison is one of his best elementary schools, and that Edison's example has moved his reform agenda ahead 4 or 5 years. 1,100 families are on the waiting list to get in. One school obviously can't offer a full picture, but how many people have gleaned any such facts for all the huffing and puffing in the debate? As Philadelphia weighs its next choices, then, let's hope the city imposes a simple standard on Edison's critics. Before they proclaim what's wrong with Edison's ideology, let them explain how many Edison classrooms they've spent time in and how Edison's approach to teaching and learning fails to meet their vision of what urban kids deserve.
The comments of Matt Miller, a syndicated columnist and a senior fellow at Occidental College in Los Angeles.